Thank you.
Well, I want to say one thing at the start here, but I never saw the logo that big on this screen here, and it is the logo of our LibreCut software. And this reminded me certainly of a thing here. I don't know if there are people here from the Netherlands, but there is some sign in the Netherlands if you want to have some driving courses or you have a scooter, you have this L at the back. So it shows you that you have some kind of a lesson. So there is also some lessons in my talk here. And the lessons is about how to develop the institutional repos. Other than the other talks here, I will not have this 10,000 meter view here about how open access should work. I will really go into the deep and to show you how it's done on the IT department. And we have a lot of work in the IT department, because if you want to implement the strategy of open access and open articles and to put all your data online, it will really create a huge portfolio of software in your library. When in the library director asks you, well, what should you implement in your library, you get a lot of questions there. There's a question to install an institutional repo system. There's a question about publication databases. There's a question about research information systems. It has to be linked with project databases. Also, you want to have a search engine on top there to search all these data sets. Next week, you are going to digitize books and images. It has to also be part of this repository and environment. You are building a whole digital library where you pile up software on software on software on software. And it is just not it's not something you can do in the IT department. This is something we really saw in Ghent. So we started with an ePrints software. For other things, we had to use DSpace. We had some Perl scripts, some CGI scripts, some PHP scripts. It became unmaintainable, and we had to really look for solution. So we looked around, and the guys at Lund built a very nice repository system, which has part of these special requirements we had. So there are, I mentioned lots of workflows, but some of the workflows were really built in the Lund repository, and we were very grateful that Lund gave us the opportunity to join in their repository development. And soon afterwards, also Bielefeld joined in, because they had the same situation. But still, it is a large repository and environment, and also it is an open source environment. But still, it is open source, but it still was very difficult to integrate all the workflows in this repository system. So we sat back and tried to think, well, what is happening here? Why is it so hard to build institutional repository systems that can manage all these different workflows? And we came up with an idea. Why is it so hard? Why do we see, not only in Lund, in Bielefeld, and again, but also if I talk with other libraries, why I see the same thing over and over, all these problems. So I think it has to be done with the history, how repository systems were built in the past. And there was lots of talk yesterday about change. And I also think to build the repository systems for the future, we have to change a bit how we think how repositories should be built. So a bit of an history. And the history is from 1996 or 1995, where Kahn Wiedenski in the United States proposed a model how repository should be built. So it started with a researcher who creates a kind of complex objects of metadata and one or more data streams that had to be deposited into a computer, which sent it to a repository system, which added some kind of the double core metadata on top. So he had also more of his systems, all using the same double core metadata, with the work of Herbert van der Sompel and Carl Lagose. There was also a protocol defined, the OEI protocol, so that you can harvest all this data, send it to a service provider on which services could be built. So you could ask to this service provider, give me a paper about this and this, it searches all these repos and you get the answer back. This is really a hugely influential model in repository development, and you see it also implemented in all the repos. And to do this, you have to make agreements about the metadata standards, about the protocols, about the complex objects that you want to store in this environment. And there are three hypotheses to work with this model. First, that you work in a networked environment with very common metadata schemes. The second is that the thing you are storing in this repos are really built as a kind of an object-oriented way to look at your POM. I talked about the complex objects you store in this repos, and this complex objects is really the thing you're working with. And the third hypothesis is that what you send to all these systems are resources. You are constantly talking about resources for all these systems. A researcher puts a resource in a repository system, and the repository system gives resources to the service provider, and an end user asks for a resource. Well, in light what we did in Lund and in Bielefeld in Ghent, we looked again at these things and we thought, well, what could we do? Because indeed, we see a network, of course, we see a network. You can't work in this world if you don't have networks. But the first network you see is really a very local network where you have all the systems. It has to work with each other. There has to be some kind of integration. This is very much looks like your current repository environment. But you have also new workflows that are entering in your IT department and which looks a bit like the workflows you also have for open access, like the imaging workflow, imaging databases, and the projects and the databases. And all these things have different workflows, different metadata schemes. So this is one of the problems we saw in our projects. The other thing is, if you're doing object-oriented design, we are talking about this complex digital objects that has, well, from the start already this unique IDs which you deposit in your system. There's some key metadata that has to be the same, otherwise your systems can't talk to each other. also this metadata scheme, the at least the macro scheme, has to be shared with your network. And based on the complex objects, you define special types, types for articles, types for books. It's based on what kind of technical things you want to do in your end-user interface. But what we actually saw when running the systems was something else. We saw very fragmented input of data. On day one, you get the metadata. On day two, they send you a PDF file. On day three, they say, no, we like some other fields in the metadata. Next week, they send a new update of your PDF file. Also, the data we are getting in our repo is very incomplete. So it is the task of your repository environment to enhance constantly your data. Also, we see lots of variations in files that are deposited in this environment. You have metadata files, all kind of different combinations. There are, like I said, many schemas. And what we are actually working with as a programmer is constantly getting data out of the system, making enhancements, and putting the data back. And all this is based on practically very simple data types, because you have to do reporting over and over again, and it's based on Excel kind of input and output. The third thing is that in the Kahn-Wilinsky web, the resource is the message, while we see in practice, it is the researcher that is the message. What we are actually doing is we are combining the total output of researchers in our repository and environment. And this researcher is constantly adding new stuff in this environment. So it has indeed on day one some kind of metadata, and it adds files and more. This you have to process and massage. You have input for many data sources like PubMed and ISI and project and databases. It has to all be combined in this central repo. Also, some things are changing in the kind of service provider you are dealing with. It's not anymore this no network. Notice the £800 Google. They're just constantly hitting your repo. And Google is not talking to you in this nice APIs that we have. No, it's talking HTTP, and it's not reading the nice XML files. No, it is using the metadata is stored in this your web pages. Also, your service provider is more and more the researcher homepage, where you want to integrate stuff in this researcher homepage. And the questions that I ask are not about resources, but are about about researchers. So if we look at our logs, what are the best hits to our repo? These are researcher and questions there. So we have to add up more metadata to describe this researcher. So based on this, we started with a project called Kathmandu to create a new kind of a repository environment to better deal with this questions I showed you, because we are now dealing with very simple sets, but in the future there's a huge task for libraries to deal with also the data sets of researchers. So this really a very big talk for us to rethink this thing. And project Kathmandu is a project to build a tool set that you can use as an IT person in libraries. Because we think that you are very lucky in a library environment if you have IT people working there. which can create this software and integrate repository service in your institution, but they're also quite expensive. So you really want, let's say, spend all that their time there on library-related stuff. It is very, very hard to get an IT people there, but also IT people that know a bit about libraries is much much harder. So we want to spend, give them the tools to immediately start programming and not spend very much time on very low level stuff. So what we do is we create an very abstract way to look at the different components of how you build the systems, and we want that each of these components you want to cut and paste into new systems you want to build, so that you're not over and over again repeating the same steps. So one of the things we do, we are creating many tools to import data from many databases, so you can have inputs from OEI servers, from DBI, from CVS, from Aptum streams, from Mark. And our data model is JSON, because we like JSON so much, because it gives very many integration chances. This is the time what I see also as an programmer. We spent a lot of time there to do reading and parsing the input and data, and JSON is a kind of a format that can immediately read in very many programming environments. So if you do Perl or Ruby or Java or C, there's a very easy way to read this data. Also, we are introducing something here that is not quite new. So what we actually think is that the repository environment is much more looking like a data warehouse and environment, where you get data from very many sources. You have to process them and put it into a central database and system. And one of the crucial things in this environment is the ETL processing to extract data from one part, transform it, and load it into the databases. It's really a huge industry there to build ETL, but the problem is that this is not very library oriented software that is created there. This really based on processing of office documents and lists, not for processing a mark, not processing a mods. So we built some tools there for programmers to implement this ETL processing in the environment. And really, our goal is not to give the tools for the programmer, but for the data manager, because they, at the end, they know best what the data is, so they need to also help in this environment to transform all this data. So we have also special tools there to very easily store data in search engines and schemaless and databases. And as I said, because we use a very easy JSON schemes, it is very easy for a programmer to work with this data, because it is all stuff you find natively in your favorite programming and environment. It's all quite nice, but the question is, what can you do with all these software tools? And this is called Project LibreCAD, where we actually build stuff based on these tools. So here you see the repository and environment of Lund, where you have a very complete environment where you have multiple workflows for multiple types of users, for researchers, for reviewers, for catalogers. You have OUI interfaces and all the protocols you need. But here is something I really would like to show you here in Bielefeld, where the Bielefeld team has very neat features implemented in their web and environments to build these services for the researcher. This is a service built to put your repository data inside the web pages of the of the researchers, and on the fly they get up to date data in their own favorite citation and a syntax there of all their publications. This is the thing that Google is looking for. This is the thing that ends in the Google index. This is the thing that builds up your university and reputation there. This is the thing that brings you the money. Here you see more an elaborate view how Bielefeld has implemented this, where you see also much more the extended services here on the left, but they also have recently integrated with the UK PMC, where our next speaker will talk about. In Ghent, we use the system to build an search engine on top. So here you see a faceted search engine built on top of our repro environment. Here's some statistics on the use of our system. I can hear someone scream here because it is not in R, this is in Excel, this is a graph, where you see the blue thing. I don't think you can read it at the back. The blue is the Google that's hitting our search engine. Yeah. In red, you see the number of hits from the research pages, and all the rest is less than this. So in the green you see the number of users that really uses your repository and environment to do searches or to go natively to the interface to do this searches. So this is only a minor part. So when we started in 2009, you see the blue line there. We got about 30,000 hits in a month. And in the scope of 2 or 3 years, the hits become 3 times as much. So in the in red, you see how many people we get into our the discovery and environment, so our catalogs and our e-articles. So you see really how the new system is competing to be the most important database we have in our in our institution. Not only we do this for open access articles, but we also have a scanning department in our library, where we use the same tools to build this image databases. And we also have built it on top of a Fedora system to do a long time preservation of data. We give all this software in open access. So the project Kathmandu is the low-level code that will be released, I hope, this week. And based on this Kathmandu, we give you all the example programs how you can implement this software in your environment. So this is the type of tools we we want to release. So the LibreCat search is the vetted search engine. The LibreCat citation is the work of Bielefeld to use this citation exporter. The catalog will be an institutional repo that Lund built for for with many integrated workflows. The GRIM is the software to build this image databases, which has this IIP stuff in there, so you can really have a very good zoom on very huge image files. The archive is the frontend for Fedora, and now we are building a frontend for the media MOSA to manage a digitalization workflow, which is quite hard. There are very many steps you have to do to get a book via the scanning department, cataloging the department, quality management department to the web. So if you want to work with this thing and get your hand a bit dirty, here is our project website, and all our code will be published on the GitHub pages. Thank you.